must exert myself in order to give the same measure as I have received and am still receiving. Did you get that? Albert Einstein says, you know what, I think about all that's been given to me. And in my life, I want to give back at least the same amount or the same way as people has given to me. I don't want to just be a receiver, but I want to give back. I have a debt. I have a gratitude that I want to give back to those that have given me. In John chapter number 12, you don't have to turn there, but you're familiar with the story. It's just a few hours before Jesus is going to go to the cross. And he's in the house of Simon the leper. And Lazarus is there. Mary and Martha is there. The disciples are there. And Mary is knowing, she understands probably better than those disciples that it's just a few hours before Jesus is going to the cross. And she understands all that Jesus has done for her. And she wants to give back to him something. She has this very costly box of perfume. The Bible says in the book of John that it's very costly. And if you study that passage of scripture, perhaps she would have to work an entire year just to buy the contents of this perfume. But she sees Jesus sitting at the table and she brings this very costly box of perfume and she puts it on his head and she anoints his feet and she takes her hair and she washes the feet of Jesus with her hair and with her tears. I believe the reason that she's doing that. It's because she believes she owes a great gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ because he has given so much to her and now she wants to respond in a way that can be honoring and pleasing unto the Lord. But in that passage there's something that happens that I still have trouble with because the Bible says that the disciples in Matthew 26, when you read that account of it, the disciples said, "Hey, why are you wasting this ointment that you have put upon Jesus? It's a waste." He said, Judas and John says this, you know, Judas says, "Hey, we could have taken that and we could have sold it and we could have given it to the poor," but the passage of scripture says that he didn't intend to do that. He wanted the money for himself. He wanted to put it into his bag. Mary understood the gratitude and she wanted to give back. And the disciples, I don't really think they understood what was fixing to happen. They knew, and Jesus had been telling them over and over that he was going to the cross. And how in the world could they be so close to the Lord Jesus Christ and see this great gift that was given to him and saying, you know what, it was a waste. Just as Jesus had given to Mary, Jesus gives to you and I. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter number 5. Boy, you ought to highlight this passage of scripture. You ought to make note of this. Because in just short 10 verses, we are going to be told at least 10 things that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever have a down day, or if there's ever a day you don't feel like anybody loves you, or you're just kind of moody, I'm telling you, you ought to go to this passage of scripture, because if you cannot get excited about what you have been given through Jesus Christ, then you would already, man. Verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith. That is the first one. Hey, we have been accounted justified before a holy and a righteous God because of what Jesus Christ has done. We have peace with God. That is the second thing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace. That is the third one. Hey, we can come into the throne room of God. We have access to God. He goes on in verse number 2, whereby we stand in grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Have you ever thought that tribulations and suffering and hardships is a gift from God? Hey, I believe that's what he's talking about in verse number 3. Hey, God every once in a while gives us tribulations, gives us suffering. Why? So that we can mature and so that we can grow and so that we can learn patience and experience and have hope. Verse number 5, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He's given us the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Aren't you glad you don't have to fear hell? Aren't you glad you don't have to fear the lake of fire? That's what he's saying in the text, that because we've been justified because of what Jesus has done for us, we are saved from the wrath that is awaiting those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm telling you, that is some exciting, great stuff there. Man, if you can read all of that stuff, if you can read about being justified, about having peace, and about having access, and about the love of God, and it doesn't move you, my friends, I'm telling you, you need to go home tonight and spend some time with the Lord and let the Lord do something in your life. I've never understood how we could sing, and I better go on because I'll get on a tangent here. Because, hey, I'm telling you, the love of God and what he's done for us, it ought to cause something inside of us to be moved. When we realize what we were and what we are in Christ. Amen. We've been blessed. But because we've been blessed so much, sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? When was the last time you've been moved by something that Jesus Christ has done for you? You can say, I'm not emotional. All of us are emotional. We're emotional beings. And I'm telling you, one of the things that I believe that is happening to Christians is that we're never moved by the things of God. We come and we go and we come to church and we go to church and we stay the same. Because of what he's done for us, it ought to move us. We go back to the text. In verse number 28, he says, you know what? You've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Everything that Jesus Christ is part of that kingdom. We have a kingdom that is eternal. We have a kingdom that is waiting for us in heaven. And because of that, he's going to give us four things, I believe, in this text that we should give back to him in order to be good receivers. And the first one is this, that we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. Notice what he says in verse number 28. Let us have grace. If you study that phrase, it just means this. Let us be thankful. Hey, we're moving into a season where we're going to hear a lot about thanksgiving and being thankful. And we know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 8. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In everything we are to give thanks. I'm just going to spend some time tonight and for the next few moments and going to talk about some things that I'm thankful for. And hopefully, maybe it'll spur you to be thankful and grateful. Number one, I'm grateful for the gift of a church, aren't you? Aren't you glad that you have a church that you can come to and you have a preacher that preaches the word of God and there's people inside the church that love one another and encourage one another. And I'm telling you, we ought to be grateful for our church. There's not a perfect church in this world. I've been a member of five churches in my whole entire lifetime, and none of them was perfect, including the one that I pastored. It even had problems in it. But you know what? I'm grateful that we have a church. I'm grateful that we can come and we can fellowship with one another and we can hear the preaching of the Word of God and we can worship the Lord collectively as a group. I am thankful for the church. Amen? I am thankful that we have Sunday night church. This is becoming a dinosaur in our society today. Most churches cannot gather a crowd. Anybody will hardly on Sunday night. And so what they do is they just cancel and they give in to the culture that says, you know what, we're not going to make God a priority in our life. We're just going to stay home and go do something else. Well, I'm glad that we have church on Sunday night. I wouldn't know what to do on Sunday night if we didn't have church. I've come to church on Sunday night all of my entire life. And I'm grateful that we still have church on Sunday night. I'm grateful for my wife. Are you grateful for the mate that you've been given? We get along. I know that's hard for you to believe, amen? Now, we're working on our living room right now, and so for the next few days, it's going to be kind of rocky. Because there's one thing about her and I, we don't work together very well. We are good together, we just don't work very well together. We don't cook together. Because she wants to tell me how to cook. I don't go in there when she's cooking because I want to tell her how to cook. So that doesn't work well. But you know what? She is exactly what I need. I've told you this before. When I go home, she's going to be the exact person every single time that she is when she walks through those doors. There's no highs, there are no lows. And I'm just telling you, some people can deal with that kind of stuff really well. I don't deal with it well. And God gave me somebody that is always the same. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be fearful about going home thinking, oh no, what am I going to get? I know exactly what I'm going to get. If I come home early, if I come home late, she is always going to be the same. And you know what? I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for her living in Sladen, Texas. Man, I grew up in a small town, Coleman, Texas. I'm just a small town kind of guy. I was talking to my daughter in China this morning. As you know, she lived in Beijing for 3 or 4 years. And the population of Beijing was 25 million. She lives in Shenzhen right now. And the population of Shenzhen, China, is 18 million people. I don't want to live in no city with 18 million people. And the one thing, you know what I like the most about Slayton? Is Lubbock's only 15 minutes away. Man, I get to live here in a little town and then hop in my car and get to go and drive in all the chaos and have the benefits of the big city. You know what? I'm grateful that I get to live in Sladen, Texas. I'm not looking for reasons to move. I'm grateful that I get to live in a house. I have a house that God has given me, and I've got cars that God has given me, but I'm grateful for my family. If you don't have a we live in a technological age. About 2 years ago, my daughter in Florida said, you need to download an app called Marco Polo. Does anybody have Marco Polo? Hey, we've got some. You know what? It is the greatest thing because, you know what, we videotape about 5 or 10 minute messages or 5 or 10 second messages 4 or 5 times a day. You know, I laugh at them. They laugh at me, you know. And it's just, even though they're all over the country, it feels like they live almost in the same town. I'm grateful for that technology. Every Sunday morning, I get up really early and so I can call my daughter that is in China and I can see her face and she's probably not grateful for this, but she can see my face. And I get to talk to her every Sunday morning. I get to see her. I get to know that she's okay. And you know what? I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I have a job. Amen. There's so many people that don't even want to work. And you know what? I'm grateful that I have a job. And I'm grateful that I have a job that I enjoy. I'm grateful that I'm a North Carolina basketball fan. Am I the only North Carolina basketball fan in here? You do know that on Tuesday, college basketball starts, don't y'all? Well, I'm just telling you, Tuesday, college basketball starts. All day long, they're playing basketball. And at 6 o'clock, North Carolina plays basketball. I've been waiting for 4 or 5 months because we got a new coach. There's kind of a new excitement. It's like you Tech fans. And I'm excited. I can't wait to see what my team is going to do. I'm grateful that all of my life I've been a North Carolina basketball fan. Here's one that you may not necessarily agree with. But you know what? I'm grateful I get to mow the grass around here. I love it. It's something that, you know what, in ministry, a lot of times you work and you do, and you can't see anything of the fruits of your labor, you know. Every Saturday when I get through here and I drive off about 1 or 2 o'clock, I look back and I think, boy, I did a good job. And I'm just grateful that I get to do it. A lot of people, you know, from the time that I first mow it, which is around April, March somewhere, I mow it every week until it frosts. Now, I did get backslidden this week. I only mowed the front up there, and I didn't mow it all. But next week, whether it needs it or not, I'll mow it all. And when it frosts, then I'm through mowing. But you know what? I'm grateful that I get to do it. It's not something that I have to do. Brother Chris never came to me and said, "Hey, boy, your job is to mow the grass." You know how I mow the grass? When I first came, Cooper and Shy was having to mow the grass and everything. I just started showing up on Saturday morning when they were mowing the grass, and it wasn't long before now I'm head lawn man of the church. But I'm grateful. I'm sure that they probably wanted me to go home, but I just stayed until they quit, and then now it's my job, amen? But you know what? I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I get to live in this country. And I'm telling you, it's not perfect. Man, there's a lot of things that's going on that you and I would never agree with. But you know what? I'm grateful that I get to live in this country in spite of all that's going on. But you know what? More than that, more than all those things combined, I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful that he loves me. I'm grateful that he went to the cross and he paid the price for my sins. I'm grateful for the book that I preach out of every Sunday night. I'm grateful that we have the Word of God. It's not man's word, it's God's word. And when we read these words, it says it's God is speaking to us. I'm grateful that we've got instruments in our church. You know, sometimes we take that for granted, but you know what? There's a lot of churches across this country that would be the same size of church that we are, and they don't have anybody that can play or that will even volunteer to play. These ladies over here have been playing for 450 years. You know what? I'm grateful. You know, they come early. They come at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. Wednesday night after you go home, I make them stay till 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And when they go home, I say, "You practice that music some more." No, I don't. But you know what? I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. You've heard me say this. I never imagined anybody would come and hear me the second time after they heard me the first time. You say, "Oh, that's just false humility." It's not. I remember when I started pastoring, and I'm laid back now, as you know. I'm boring now compared to what I used to. But you know what? People just kept coming. That was a gift from God, but it was a gift of people. Do you realize if you don't get anything out of anything that I ever say, you've blessed me. You've given me a gift. That's a gift that I could never repay and give back to you. You see, because of all that God's done for us, we just need to be grateful. Yes, is there a lot of crazy stuff going around us? There is, but my friends, there's still a lot of wonderful things. I bet you there's not 15 churches in America that baptized an elderly man today. I say elderly, he's probably, what, 70 years old? 70, 65? Jerry, how old is he? 74 years old. I wonder how many churches had someone saved and baptized, a man that was 74 years of age. I'm just telling you, we need to be grateful. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have a pastor that will invest his life in those kinds of people. Well, I've taken most of my time, and let me give you these next three real quickly. Not only should we have a servant's, not only should we have an attitude of gratitude, but we need to have a servant's heart. Notice what it says. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. John F. Kennedy said it this way: ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I think we could take out country and institute the word Jesus. That's not what Jesus can do for you, but what can you do for Jesus? He says, hey, because of all that God has done, if we are going to be good receivers, if we're going to receive the gift, then the least that we could do is serve the Lord. I like what Paul says in Acts 20 and verse number 19, serving the Lord with humility of mind and with many tears and temptation. It kind of goes to the point of what Brother Chris preached this morning. If you get in and you really serve the Lord, I promise you there's going to be some Christian people that's going to really offend you and hurt you. I've not had a whole lot of hurts outside of the church, but I'm telling you, my heart's been ripped out by people that I've loved, that were people in the church that I served, that I had given my life to. Do you know what? I didn't quit. Because I'm not serving them for them. I'm serving the King is who I'm serving. I love what Hebrews 12 in verse number 2 says, and you're there, look over in that text. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now notice these next verse, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know what he's talking about there? Do you know who the joy that was set before him? It's you and it's I. You and I was set before him, and because he loved us and because he cared so much for us, he despised the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to have a servant's heart. The next one is that we need to live with a cautious spirit. If you notice the last part of verse number 28, he says, I want you to serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. That word reverence there just means, if you look it up, it means cautious. And the ideal of it is this, is that you're carrying a very, very expensive Persian vase that is worth all kinds of money. And if you drop it or if you stumble and you fall, then that vase will break. And so in order for it not to happen, you walk with it very cautious. You see, I think as Christians that we ought to take that to heart of how we are to live our life. We shouldn't try to get as close to the edge as we can. So we should live our lives cautiously, not so that we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Godly fear just means awe. We're to have reverence and awe as we serve the Lord. The last one is that we need to heed the warnings of God. Verse number 29, notice what he says, for our God is a consuming fire. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 24. In that passage, Jesus has talked about idol worship, and he's talked to the children of Israel, hey, don't worship idols and don't make graven images, because I am a jealous God, for God is a consuming fire. In Deuteronomy chapter number 9, he's talking about when they go into the promised land. And as they go into the promised land, God will go before them. And he says this, for our God is a consuming fire. Can I tell you tonight that we serve a powerful God? But in this book of Hebrews, there's some warnings passages. We need to heed those warnings. In Africa, there was a little tribe. And out in this tribe, there was an American teacher that had gone in. And she had set up a school in this tribe. It was close to Christmas time. And as it was getting close to Christmas time, she decided that she would talk to these little boys and girls about the Christmas spirit and about the new year of Christmas. And as she was talking to them, she said this, the reason that we give gifts to one another at Christmas time is because of what Jesus Christ has given to us by coming to this world.
God, we're grateful that you work in our hearts and our lives. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us never to take your gifts for granted. That God, that we'd be good receivers. That we'd give back to you. God, I pray that you'd move in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.